Welcome, everyone. This is Brian, and thank you for coming to the Psychic Medium follow-up telesession. It'll be between 30 and 45 minutes. If you'd like to email me a question about the workshop, you can do that. Just send it to starfireart@aol.com. And if you need a link, you can just go to my website down at the bottom of each page, I believe. So I'm just opening up everything now. And Coralie, I don't see those in there. If you could please put those back in there for me. So how is everyone doing this morning? Oh, yes, I got them now. Thank you. I have me and my people are sending messages back and forth this morning. So everybody just get situated, get some water, and we're going to talk a little bit about the psychic medium training course. You will probably want to get your psychic medium notes out as well and just kind of browse over those as I'm talking about the psychic medium course here. So let's see. Where do we want to start here? For the psychic medium course, now this is a very simplified mediumship course, and it will evolve as we go. Probably every 6 months, I'll have an update on this course. Not only will there be new things, but you'll also, your mediumship, the activations will strengthen your mediumship. So some of you may be psychic already, and you may have had psychic gifts, and this is just enhancing those each time and giving you new things, new techniques to do. But some of you may have not been using your psychic abilities very much for your whole life. You could be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, and you just haven't used them enough. Everyone has this gift. Some people have just used it more, and some people haven't used it at all, depending on, you know, how your life has gone, how the ebb and flow of your life has gone and your educational process and everything. The people who are very good at mediumship, who you see on TV, the famous mediums, they've been doing this very strongly for many lifetimes in a row. You may not have used your skills. Your skills may have gone dormant for a couple lifetimes before this one, and so it's a little bit harder to get it started. But as we keep going and as the progression of psychic medium classes continues, it's important to be on each upgrade. And for of course the people who have already taken the course, the upgrades are very affordable, and you should constantly seek to strengthen your psychic and your mediumship abilities, simply because it appears that the world is going into a higher age of technology, when actually it's the inner technologies that are more important that we're turning on. Your intuition, your psychic abilities, your mediumship abilities, which will be better than using a nav in a car, okay, a navigation system. So you want your inner technologies to be working very strong, and then you supplement those with the physical technologies. You don't want to be relying strictly on the physical technologies, your cell phone, your social media, your computer, and all of that. You want to be focusing most of your energy, at least 75%, on your internal your inner abilities, your inner psychic abilities, because that's what's really going to get you to evolve spiritually at a more rapid pace. So let me see here. I'm just looking to see if there's any questions. Let's see. Let me forward this to myself. I'm just doing a little bit of stuff here, so just kind of follow along with me. I'm sending myself some things. and this call is less formal, so I can do that. So I'm just going to get into Starfire Art right now, that email. And if you, again, if you have any questions about the course, that would be great. You can just send them there. So talking about, again, you do have this ability. You really need to practice often, though. And what I mean by practice is you don't necessarily have to sit down and read the notes to practice or go on the internet to practice. Just lay back in a chair or sit on the couch and or when you go to bed at night and just play with your psychic abilities. It just needs, it strengthens your abilities when you do that or when you're driving in the car or when you're at work sometimes on your lunch break. Just for a moment, just strengthen those abilities. Most people on their lunch break would grab their phone and start texting and everything, and maybe take 10 minutes of your lunch to just daydream and just look around and perceive if you're sitting in a park eating your lunch or even if you're sitting in a crowded restaurant, just to enhance and strengthen your psychic abilities. Maybe bring the Blu-ray in. Maybe try and perceive if a loved one is around you. Again, strengthening those inner technologies is the most important thing. And again, the more you practice connecting, the stronger your abilities are going to become. Now, psychic medium abilities, it's an easy process to do. A departed loved one, if you're connecting with that part of the psychic medium training, a departed loved one will talk exactly the same as they did when they were in embodiment here. So if they would banter back and forth with you all the time, or if they were really funny, or if they would smoke a cigar and have these funny mannerisms, they're going to have the same thing, that they're going to be exactly the same way when you talk to them on the etheric. That's how you know it's them, of course. And so they, even though they're more evolved in the realm of heaven, they will always appear to you and talk with you exactly as they knew you here. And that's how, again, you know it's them. And if you watch the Long Island medium, that's exactly what they do. They come through with things like she'll smell cigar smoke and it's the father or the grandfather, or the mother will say something really funny from the spirit realm and say, oh yes, my mother always said stuff like that. So they're going to talk to you in exactly the same way as they did before. I'm just getting into my other email so I can answer your questions. And if, Coralie, if you could please send me an okay to that my volume is okay to the Starfire Art, because that's where I'm going to be logged into. Thank you. So again, they'll talk exactly the way they did as they were heard. They're not going to speak in any lofty way. So if you hear their voice in any other way than they were here, it's not them. That's how you can tell, okay? Now, it's important to do a clearing process on yourself and or to be clear before you start connecting with your loved ones. If you're doing that part of the psychic medium training, connecting with a loved one or somebody else's loved ones, you'll want at least 30 minutes usually, unless you're really, really good at it and really evolved at connecting with departed loved ones. About 30 minutes before, you want to really start prepping yourself. You don't want to have any stress or any of your cares or worries. You want to do a little meditation. That's always really important. And also, you know, you can schedule time. That's what the guides actually like, even though they're available for you 24/7 and your loved ones are as well. It's always good to set aside some time or schedule time to talk with your guides, if that's possible, a few times a week. Tell them, okay, I'm home from work at 5, so when I get home, I'll do a few things, and then we'll connect for 15 minutes at 6 o'clock. Because the guides have other things that they're doing. Also, the departed loved ones have other things that they do in the spirit realm as well. So it's always good to schedule time to connect. with your guides and with the loved ones as well, unless you're doing a reading for someone else, which has already been preordained and the loved one knows that they're going to be coming in. Now, sometimes too, if you're trying to connect with one loved one, they might not come in, but another one will. And that's okay because that's meant to be, so that's the one you need to talk to. For example, if you're trying to connect with your great-grandmother and your mother comes in or your father who's passed over, that's okay. So just let that happen. Don't keep trying to connect with that other spirit unless they want to come in. The spirit that you bring in, the departed loved one, is the one that you need to talk to. And always look for physical signs that your loved one is near. There'll be smells, there'll be things that catch your eye. A lot of it is about attention. And you remember the Celestine prophecy. It's about attention, where your attention is being drawn. And so your mother or your grandmother who passed away maybe liked white roses. And you remember that as in your childhood, as there was always white roses in the house, or she liked white roses or brought white roses over for Christmas. And all of a sudden, one day, early in the morning, you start seeing white roses everywhere. You see them on the television, and then you start to make a little bit of connection. And then you go out to the coffee shop, and there's somebody with a white rose sitting outside. So you'll know that's a connection. So you have to be very aware of the things around you. Again, we're not so much going into the age of external technologies. That's a lower reality. We're going into the age of internal technologies where you're enhancing this and it really enhancing your experience with the whole earth plane. And always make this a fun and enjoyable process. Always. Always make sure you're having fun with this. That's really important. Having fun with all the spiritual processes is like the number one thing for me. So, and Gary's just sending a thank you. There's no question, but thank you, Gary. Says he's been using the psychic medium abilities a lot while he's traveling, and that's great. Yes, you should always, you know, even if you're on a train or a plane or in a car, or what, even if you're riding a bike, you should always, your perception should always be open. So often we see people who are jogging, who are riding bikes, and yes, and walking, and they all have headphones on. They're all listening to music with headphones, and that is screwing up their psychic abilities. Okay? Once in a great while, you can do that. But you know what? Take the time, especially if you're bike riding or walking. Maybe you're walking 4 times a week. Well, 2 of those times, don't take your music with you, okay? And certainly if you're walking your dog, we always see people walking their dogs. Now, people used to have fun with their dogs when they were walking them, and some people still do. But a lot of people just are talking on their phone when they're walking their dog and completely ignoring their dog. So leave your phone at home, leave your music at home sometimes, then let your psychic abilities be present and your awareness be present when you're out doing things like that, okay? And just simple things, again, like walking. Now, of course, the symbol dictionary, which you all have in picture and in print in your notes, you want to... if you're using the numbers for the symbols, which is the easiest way to go, for example, if you're doing a reading with your great-grandfather and he says he gives you 1, 17, 5, and 24, then that's a good way to go. But always try and stretch your psychic abilities to incorporate the pictures as well, because that will strengthen your visual psychic senses as well. So try and ask the loved one maybe sometimes to, when you're talking to somebody who's crossed over, to give you pictures to see if they can match the pictures rather than the numbers. Because the numbers is a real quick way to go, and it's really, really effective and very accurate. But again, try and stretch yourself So ask the picture symbols to be shown to you to enhance your visual psychic abilities. Now, if you're having difficulty seeing anything through your psychic eye, through your third eye, you want to do regular visualization and breathing processes, okay? For some reason, a lot of light workers and New Age people have gotten out of that. When I first awakened 20-something years ago, everybody was doing meditation. Breathing exercises were really big. Everybody was doing that every day. But that has been lost through the age of technology. So take a few minutes, maybe during the day or in the morning, and definitely at night before you go to bed, to clear your energy field, to just breathe. Just breathe and try and visualize something. Because part of the mediumship training was remote viewing. And a lot of the time when you're breathing, ask your guides to give you a visual of Atlantis, okay? And I guess I'll go into the remote viewing part right now. So ask them when you're breathing, just say, give me a vision of Atlantis. And that starts your remote viewing process. And then all you do is breathe. And this foggy picture of a temple or something of Atlantis will come into your mind. And then that will gradually, after a few minutes, it will become very clear, and then the picture will start moving. That's a very basic, simple way to remote view. Another example of that is sometimes when I'm just laying on the couch and just meditating or going to bed, Ashtar Command will send me an image of a ship, and it'll kind of be a murky image, like one of their ships out in space, like the constellation or the Wave Star. And it's a murky image, and then it becomes clearer. And then within a few minutes, I'm on the ship walking and interacting, and the whole picture is moving, and then they're showing me things, and then they're talking to me. So that's a very simple way to remote view, is simply to ask for a visual of where you want to go, or let them give you a visual. At first, it'll be a very foggy or murky image, but then if you keep focusing on it and breathing, it will evolve to be more motion oriented. That you'll see action. You'll see your guides. So that's a good way to start the remote viewing. Very simple way. But with all of these things, of course, practice is the key, and you do have to set aside time for that. Simple awareness. I mean, I would definitely go back and read the Celestine Prophecy, or listen to the audio version of that. That was really fantastic. I remember when that came out a long, long time ago, listening to the audio version of that. I know there's the Celestine Prophecy movie that you can rent on Amazon Fire Stick or Netflix or whatever, and that's okay. The movie was okay, but it came out kind of late. But the book, and the audio version of the book was really good, and that kind of will re-inspire you as well. So again, when you're walking your dog, when you're riding your bike, when you're going out for a walk, do not take your phone, and you're only going to be gone, 20 minutes, half an hour? And just let your awareness perceive the trees, perceive the nature around you, to perceive things on a psychic level. That's really important, and especially walking at night. That's a really important time to actually go out and walk or to ride a bike, especially if you have good weather like we do here in Las Vegas right now. We have some nice weather. So just allowing yourself to perceive things. And at first, of course, if you've been walking or riding your bike and using your phone the whole time, it might even take you a few days of walking and a few days of riding your bike or whatever you're doing to even tune in psychically, because you're so used to having that technology in your ears, and that's not good. So you know that you're overdoing the cell phone or the Walkman or whatever you're using or your iPod. You're overdoing that if you can't be without it, if you feel really uncomfortable without it. Again, we're enhancing the inner technologies here. So now we're going to talk about tarot cards a little bit. So tarot cards, remember to clear your deck in between readings, to clear your deck, okay? Especially if you're doing readings for other people. To clear the deck, it takes 2 seconds. Hold it in your hand. Run the violet flame through it. You can put a drop of lavender oil on your hands, but not when they're wet. Don't touch the cards, but then just touch the cards and just clear them. And have a really strong intention of what you want to receive, the message that you want to receive. Realize that tarot cards will give you a message, but your other psychic senses will need to put that message together. Even with the Osho Zen deck. So let's say you get you're asking, should I be moving from Florida to California? Should I relocate? And you get the card guidance, you get the card happiness, you get a few more different cards. Okay, so you're getting words with those cards. You can certainly look up the meaning, but your other psychic abilities will have to put that message together. That's where the mastery comes with tarot cards, with pendulum, and it's supposed to be like that. It's a learning curve. You need to practice this. Very important. And it's often a combination of cards that will give you an answer. Sometimes it's just one card. Maybe you say, what is my card for the day? And you shuffle the deck and you pull one card and that's your card. That's great. That would be good probably for you to do every day, is just to have the card deck out and say, okay, what is my card for the day? Because that card will kind of guide you, especially if it's a warning card. It'll kind of guide you. So sometimes it's just one card that's needed, or sometimes it's a combination of cards. If a card falls on the ground when you're shuffling the deck, or comes out of the deck, then that's one of the key cards for you. Also, look at the image on each card. Don't just go by what it says on the card. If there's a word on your deck, if you're using the Osho Zen, don't just go by that word. Go by the imagery sometimes too, because your psychic senses will look at the card and say, okay, this says expectations, but what the picture on the card resonates more with you and gives you more information too. Now, regarding the pendulum, you want to make sure that you're clear and ready to receive the truth with a pendulum, because I've seen so many people manipulate pendulums and move them with their hand, and that's not how you do a pendulum, okay? Again, you have to start the pendulum swinging and then hold your hand very still and let the pendulum do what it wants to do. Now, some people don't have a steady hand. Sometimes I have a steady hand, sometimes I don't. So if you don't have a steady hand, you can't use the pendulum, because you need that steady hand. So again, there's a learning curve. You need to learn how to have a steady hand. You can either hold your hand out in the free air and let it swing, or a lot of the time I will put my elbow on the table and let the pendulum swing, and it'll be a lot easier for me to hold it in the position that it needs to be put in. And again, you want to be clear. If you're asking a question, you don't want to have your feelings influence the pendulum, okay? Now, there's a lot of higher psychic abilities that are activated during these sessions as well. These things like tarot cards and pendulum and crystals and things like that, these are tools that are used, physical tools, to show you that things are happening, to show you what the message is. And of course, if you're doing sessions for other people, and even if you're a very mental person, you need to see something in the physical that indicates that this is the message. And a tarot card reading will show you the message right tangibly right in front of you. You can go have a psychic reading from somebody and they don't use anything and they're just giving you psychic advice, which is good too. But the tarot cards actually give you a physical, tangible evidence of what the message is, especially if you're reading for someone else who maybe doesn't understand this type of thing. Let's see. You can use both the pendulum and the tarot cards together to advance and develop your psychic senses and your mediumship abilities. So if you're sometimes actually when you're doing a tarot card reading, it doesn't matter how many cards you pull, the message will be very murky and very unclear. And you wonder, why is this happening? And so then you get your pendulum out, and so you use two tools together to see what's happening. A lot of the time when you can't get clear answers psychically, when you can't get clear answers with your pendulum, when you can't get clear answers with your tarot cards or your guides aren't giving you clear answers, it's an energy problem. And the earth goes through a lot of different energy ups and downs. So you might want to just say, okay, I'll do this in an hour, because the energy can change from moment to moment. So you may want to say, okay, well, I'm not going to do the reading right now. Maybe you're reading for somebody else. Just say, let's wait 15 minutes and do it again. So that's okay. You have to be open to that, and you have to be able to tell your clients that if you're not getting a clear hit, it could be the energy, but also what we talked about in the training, if you're not getting a clear hit psychically, if you're reading for somebody else, it means they might be blocking the energy. Okay, so their higher self wanted them to come in for the reading to get some truths, but they're sitting there and their body postures and the things they're saying to you about skepticism of this and things of that nature, that is an indication that they're blocking the energy, and you have to stop the whole reading and clear that energy before moving forward. Everybody got that? So now with crystals, working with crystals, it's important with crystals and essential oils and things and herbs and things like that to just, especially if you've taken the light wave training, to know what each of the crystals does. I mean, certainly, it's not like you're going to memorize a dictionary or go through a phone book and memorize everything like some people can do. Some people have photographic memories and they can remember everything. Everything that every crystal does. But it's not necessary that you memorize everything. But it is important that you know what key crystals do, like a quartz crystal or an amethyst crystal or a rose quartz. There's probably like 10 key crystals, 10 key essential oils, 10 key herbs, and then there's all the rest. So it's good to have lists of things. And again, we'll be evolving the psychic medium training as we go, so you get a full training of everything. I mean, this training really groundbreaking as it's coming in, because it's giving you a full mediumship but activating all of your senses too. So just knowing what the 10 key crystals do, knowing what how to put them together, how to create the crystal grid, is very important too. Just making little grids around your house, maybe just taking a circle of crystals, of rose quartz crystals, and putting them around a picture of yourself on the kitchen table or in a back room or something, and just going by once every day and just giving it a little bit of light wave energy and just see what happens. Always when you're making a crystal grid, after you've set it up, if you're setting up a circle of like 10 rose quartz crystals or different crystals around a picture of yourself, you want to take light wave energy and just run your hand over them about 5 inches over the circle, just spinning your hand, connecting all the crystals together. Okay, so after you make a crystal grid or a full body layout, you want to connect all the crystals together to activate them. Okay, so let's see, got a couple of questions here, which I'll answer very quickly. How do I bring in skills and abilities I had from other lifetimes? You're doing that day by day as you're taking the trainings. Some of the trainings are actually just reminders and triggering memories. So you may have worked with crystals in a former life. You may have been a psychic medium in a former life, but that skill has gone dormant because you haven't used those. But now, when you take this training, they're being reactivated. So slowly they're being reactivated. You don't actually have to do anything other than take the trainings and read the books and work with the accelerators or what have you to bring in those skills and activate them. You're doing that simply by taking the class. Another question here. How can I use mediumship, symbols, signposts, the tarot card, the pendulum all together? Well, you can, but you have to be pretty gifted at all of those things to use them all together. So I would be able to use all those things together, but if you're starting out, you just want to use a couple of the things, okay? And if you're confused about like one of the things that we trained you on, psychic signposts, remote viewing, if you're still confused, that means you're not supposed to be using that right now. And you don't want to push yourself into that area. Maybe your higher self is saying you don't need that right now. You can bring that in 2 months, okay? So you can use a very seasoned person who's learned all these things can use all these things together. And certainly I can do that because I'm very good at all these things, but you just want to focus on one or two or three of the things that we've been training. Another question that's coming in, how do I know if I'm using technology too much? Of course, like I said, if you're uncomfortable without your phone in your hand, or if you can't go for a walk without taking your cell phone, if you are in the car and you're, let's say you've lived in a city or a town for years and you're still using your navigation, your nav system in your car, that's a problem. That means you're relying on technology too much. Just drive around. I mean, you know the city. You know, the thing is that people are using their nav systems even in places in their cars, even in places where they live. And you don't necessarily need to do that. You just need to have a physical address. You need to know where it is because that keeps your inner psychic navigation system working. So again, if you can't go out of the house and take a walk without your cell phone, that's a big problem. And if you feel like incomplete without looking at your cell phone and your texts every 5 minutes, which it seems like a lot of people are like that right now, then that's a problem as well. Again, you want your inner technologies to be about 75% of your day, and you want the external technologies as a supplement about 25% of the day. Let's see. How do you know if you're getting psychic information from a light source or a dark source? Well, it's a feeling. I would say that's a feeling that you have. And the information as well. The higher guides will always give you options and promptings and suggestions, and you'll always feel really uplifted. And they will tell you things like if you're asking about, oh, there's a war going on near where I live or in the country where next to where I live, or there's this or that. Whatever challenging or crisis situations, they'll always explain it and talk to you about that in an uplifting way, kind of like what Jesus would do. And so that's how you know it's higher guidance. The lower guides will always try and manipulate you or tell you that you have to do something, and you'll always have a feeling that something's not right. The feeling will be a weird feeling inside of you. Now, certainly if you are supposed to be doing something and you're not doing it, and then a higher guide comes in and says, you know, it would be beneficial to do this, and you go into this whole thing, well, that must be a bad guy because I don't want to do that. I can't, you know, that makes me feel fearful. That's kind of more your stuff than it is the guide. So you have to work with your guides on a daily basis. That's how you tell, you come to know if they're dark or they're light. But for the most part, if you're using protections like we do here at LightQuest, Coralie and Sheila and I, we use protections. We know that the guidance we're getting is light, and you have to work with it every day. Even if your guides and your loved ones aren't, you feel they're not, you're not hearing their voices or things, just work with them every day until you do. Okay. And another question before we move forward. I don't know what this question is. What is the best environment to be in to fully enjoy and connect? I'm not sure what the question is. So you might want to rephrase that question and send it to me. What is the best environment to be in to fully connect? I'm not sure I understand that. So just make it real simple for me. So moving on, we're going to talk about the psychic signpost. So the signpost is something in your mind. It's, again, it's another method. You don't have to use all of these things. Maybe you're not interested in working with crystals right now, or you're not very good at a pendulum, and you can't hold your hands steady, or the psychic signpost, you can't visualize it. That's okay. But always, again, maybe in a couple months, push yourself. Just say, I'm going to try and work on the psychic signpost this month, and I'd like my guides to help me with it. That's how you can say it, frame it. And so your guides are always there to help you. If you need money, if you need assistance, if you need friendship, if you want to work on the psychic signpost on the first day of the month, you want to say, okay, I'm going to work on the psychic signpost this month, and I'd like all my guides and angels to help me. And so they will gradually, and then you can just go on about your day or go to work, and maybe 2 days later, they'll start talking to you about it. It won't happen immediately sometimes. Sometimes you'll tell them, and then two days later, they'll say, okay, why don't we work on this now? Okay, and they'll give you an idea of what they want you to do. You want to keep practicing this. You can visualize the psychic signpost in whatever way you want. It doesn't have to be a yes or no signpost in your mind. It can be a thumbs up or a thumbs down. For example, if you say, oh, well, should I go to that concert with my friends? It seems like there's a lot of nebulous energy around this concert, kind of like the EDC here, which I'll talk about, the EDC festivals. Very nebulous, very weird energy. Also, Burning Man, those type of things, and cancel clear me saying those, but just telling you what the energy is like. But those type of things have very nebulous energy where there's lots of entities. So you ask, oh, should I go there? And the psychic signpost keeps giving you a thumbs down. So you're using a thumbs up and a thumbs down. And you know what? Even though all your friends are going, you probably shouldn't go. Find something else to do, and that's okay. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to hang back right now. I got some stuff to do at home, or I'm going to take a 2-day trip here. I just need some time on my own. It's all about kind of telling people or who are around you, especially family members. If you have a really tight family and you do everything together, even though a lot of the times some of the family members don't actually want to be together, they just go anyway just because everybody always does that. You have to find a way to talk to people and just say, you know what, I'm just going to hang back now. I'm going to do my own thing. I just need some time on my own. You have to figure that out. So again, the psychic signpost doesn't have to be a thumbs up or a thumbs down. or a yes or a no. It can be something that your guides and you formulate together. Now, talking a little bit about string magic, finding lost items, finding missing pets or children or people, you want to use the string magic, just kind of practice that in this way. So if you see, you'll usually see something on TV, like somebody's missing, and you're watching a newscast. So you want to do the string magic right there. You want to surround that person that you're watching on TV or that you see on the flyer, on the telephone pole by your house, the dog or the cat or the child, or on a milk carton. You want to just surround them. And of course, if you're in the privacy of your own home watching a newscast, there's a missing child or something, just say, I'm now surrounding that child, and you can say their name if you know it, with golden light, bringing in the angels to guide them home, to guide them to someone who can help them, and just get them away from any nebulous activity around them. Just keep protection fields around them, and you want to put string magic, put a string between them and somebody who can really help them, okay? So if, of course, newscasts on TV are very quick, but you can do this very quickly. It's not something, string magic is not something that's going to take you 10 minutes. It's going to take you just about 2 minutes. So you can do that. Again, if you see a flyer of a dog, even if you're driving and you come to a stop sign and you turn your head over to the right and on a telephone pole or a fence or something, you see a poster of a missing dog, just sit there for a minute and do string magic, surround them with gold light or white light and connect them through a string with somebody who can help them, okay? Now, you can certainly use, for if you've lost your keys or your wallet, use the Tony, Tony, turn around, what once was lost must now be found. But again, you have to say that 3 times, and after each time, you have to say what it is you're looking for. For example, a wallet. Tony, Tony, turn around, what once was lost must now be found. My wallet. Tony, Tony, turn around, what once was lost must now be found. My wallet. Tony, Tony, turn around, what once was lost must now be found. My wallet. That's how you're going to find it very quickly. If you say it once, it will not work. For some reason, that's part of the magic of the whole limerick, and it works. You have to do it 3 times. You have to say what it is you're looking for after each time. It will not work if you do it once. It will not work if you do it twice, but saying it 3 times seals the magic and activates the magic, and it will happen. Okay? If you're trying to manifest money or different things, use string magic, and that string goes from your heart or your body to whatever it is you want to manifest. Sometimes you direct the string, sometimes you don't. So you're doing string magic to manifest more money, more prosperity for yourself. And this is, of course, with finances, it's something you need to do periodically, 3-4 times a week. You visualize a golden cord moving from your heart out, and just send the cord out to anywhere that's going to bring you money and financial prosperity. The cord will find its way to those avenues of money or those areas of money and start bringing the money back to you. But as the string goes out, you want to visualize money and energy coming back on that string to you. So a lot of string magic is all about visualization. And remote viewing is as well. The easiest way to remote view is to lay down and tell your guides, send me a vision of Lemuria. Send me a vision of the Renaissance period. Maybe you are like a Shakespearean type. You have Shakespearean blood. And you want to go back to that time because that was definitely kind of a golden age in a way. Lot of creativity, but you want to see the Renaissance, something in the Renaissance period. And they'll give you, again, a murky vision will come in. It will be very foggy, but just let that evolve, and then the vision will start moving, and then all of a sudden you'll be walking on a street and seeing people, and the vision will evolve from there. That is called remote viewing. Okay. I'm going to see if I have any more questions. I have one more question here. Can you please help me with the meanings of some of the tarot cards, like schizophrenia or the thunderbolt? Well, those are warning cards. Okay. And if you pull exhaustion and laziness cards together, or any of those cards, that means that you need to address something, that something is happening around you that you're not addressing. It's not necessarily a bad card. It's just a warning card to get you back, get you balanced again. Okay. And a lot of people, I think, I used to do readings all the time, and a lot of people are in denial about a lot of things, and they don't want to think if they pull a card that's bad, they don't want to think that that's for them. Oh, that's not for me. That can't be right. You know, that was like the famous thing with all the good psychics, will tell you that behind the scenes, that sometimes when you get even a psychic reading without any tarot cards, and you get a sign or a symbol that is a warning sign, that the person is completely in denial, that can't be me, no, that psychic didn't give me the right reading, blah, blah, blah. Of course they gave you the right reading. Of course that card was correct. So it's all about the New Age and the spiritual movement and the evolution that we're going through. We have to be willing to look at our own stuff, all of us. I even pull cards sometimes, and I'm sure all of you have and did during the Psychic Medium course. Some of you pulled cards that you may not have liked, and that's okay. Those are transition cards. Those are cards that will help you to know yourself better and to help you not be in any denial about your stuff. You want to be able to evolve, and to do that, you want to be able to own your stuff and say, oh, well, you know, I didn't know that about myself, but if I do, I want to clear that. For example, for me, I'm an Aries. Aries can be very controlling, can be very aggressive, and I have had to balance those traits. Now, back at when I first started in Sedona, way, way back when I awakened, I would try and control every aspect of setting up a presentation. And I even had people helping me. And so somebody would tell me, like jokingly, one of the people who was assisting me, you're so controlling. You know, and they would be joking. They liked me, but they were just saying that. And that would trigger me, and I would kind of get mad. Like, I didn't say anything to them, angry or anything. I would just kind of laugh and then continue doing everything myself when they were supposed to be helping me. And I wouldn't let anybody help me set up the accelerators. And I should have. But that was, again, the Aries controlling nature. And so I would go home and I would kind of be pissed, but then my guides would say, okay, just lay down when you get home. And so I would say, okay, I didn't like what that person said to me, but if it's true, I want to be able to shift that. And that's what I would say at first. And then all of that would start shifting, until I wasn't doing that anymore. And all of a sudden, a couple months later, I wasn't even controlling the presentation anymore. I had people setting up the accelerators without me and everything. So again, getting the cards, these type of cards, is okay. And it tells you that there's something going on in your energy field that needs to be balanced, such as schizophrenia or a thunderbolt. Those can be good cards. Say like you pull five cards and you have one or two of those cards, you'll want to look at those cards as well and say, okay, I'm going to do some energy work on myself. Maybe you don't know what those mean, or you don't know how that pertains to your life, but what you want to do is just some quick energy work on yourself, balance your chakras with light wave, balance your energy, and ask your guides to tell you, what does that mean to me? But those cards are actually good cards, because they will shift you the most. They'll make you aware of yourself. And one last question before we finish here. At any environment, what is the best environment for me? Well, whatever makes you feel the most comfortable. If you need to go out to the desert for a drive to get psychic information, if being by water, being out in your garden in the back, sitting out on the back porch, whatever feels the best for you. certainly you can be living in the middle of a city and have a nice garden outside in your home, like a Buddhist type of garden, and you know, even if it's only very small, and feel very good out there, and that's where you get your best psychic information. Different people will have different areas, like water, forest, desert, open, whatever works for you. And that may change from week to week or month to month. You may like water energy a lot. My life goes in patterns psychically. So I'll eat Kung Pao chicken from Panda Express for 6 months, and I can't get enough of it, sometimes 3 times a day, and I don't know what it's doing, but it's nurturing my spiritual system, my body, and everything. And I know it sounds crazy, but I'll do it for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, one day, I just won't want it anymore. It's not that I don't like it anymore. I'll just shift to something else. My life goes in patterns. Sometimes I go to movies a lot, and then all of a sudden I don't go. Sometimes I'll go to Starbucks a lot, and then all of a sudden I won't be there for 2 years. So things run in patterns for ambassadors and for some people who are doing the work of spirit here on the planet. So with that, I would like to say thank you. Again, this was just a quick energize. It was actually a pretty good call, I think. My guides are kind of cheering all of us on. So again, enhancing the inner technologies. Now, you don't want to forget about these psychic medium trainings. You know, you may say, oh, well, I'm busy that day. I can't do it. And you need to really make time. I think a lot of people's lives are getting so busy and so scheduled now that they're foregoing trainings and things that they should actually have. And they're more affordable than what they're actually doing. So, you know, I've had people say, oh, can I get a scholarship to your psychic medium training? And because, you know, I'm going on a 6-week vacation to Europe. I'm like, really? You didn't just ask me that, did you? So people are, you need to kind of shift your money around too. That's kind of a spiritual mastery type thing, is shift your money to more spiritual things as well. Maybe you need to take a shaman training that's very beneficial for you, or maybe you need to take some type of an energy training, or maybe there's something that's going on near you and you need to take that. And so you need to shift your money over into that. Maybe you're thinking about taking a 6-week vacation. Make that a 3-week vacation and take that training. You know, take that training as well. You can do both. So shifting your money, I've had to do that a lot, is shift your money to make sure you're getting the spiritual education, the activations, and the upgrades that you really need for your evolution as well. We do have the paramagnetic alignments coming up, with that said. And there is a new upgrade with the paramagnetic alignments, and it's an energy screen. It's an Ashtar Command Ascended Master energy screen, which is brand new. They've never done this on humans before, and it's an energy screen that'll screen out, that they're placing your field, that will screen out all of the stray frequencies, all of the nebulous energies, all the thought forms and everything. And this is really groundbreaking. So we do have the paramagnetic alignments, not this weekend, but it's following Saturday. And we'll be putting that new upgrade on the website so you can read a little bit about it. But it is, again, a brand new upgrade, an energy screen that's very important, because it will help to stabilize and balance your whole system. So with that said, I'll thank Coralie and Sheila and my extended team, God and the Ashtar Command, the Ascended Masters and the Angels, and thanking all of you. Continue your training. Again, it's something that you do every day, just normally. It's not something that you need to stress about or think, oh, I got to do this today. It should just blend very naturally with your life. Okay, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you at the paramagnetic alignments. Bye-bye.